thank you for having us come together. We ask, Lord, that you just be with Brother Benny and you just be his mouth. Just let him be your mouthpiece, Lord, and that you would just bring forth your message that lives will be changed and we could go forth through this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is it? Yeah, it's on. They have my Bible printed upside down, so I had to turn it over where I could read it. So, well, either one, but I might get tired to do that. Might mess up my hair, too. Can't be working on that. We're going to start out today in Psalm 89, verses 1 and 14. Go to your middle of the Bible, and that'll pretty much put you in song, real close to it. Okay, over there. Almost. All right. You know what the old folks said about almost, don't you? Said, if you jump a creek, you high and dry. But if you almost jump a creek, you soaking wet. The name of this one, Eddie, for your information, is Faithfulness. He going to ask me that if I don't tell him. So I had to ask him. While we're waiting for a couple folks to do that, a lot of people say, well, I asked so-and-so to come twice and they wouldn't come. Well, twice don't get it. You need to pull an Eddie Edwards on them. For every month, he asked me to come to this church. And finally, he let me in on his secret of what he intended to do. He said, every month, I'm going to ask you to come until you do. So for 2 years, every month, he asked me to come to this church. Until I finally showed up. So it took him 2 years to get me to come. And you're going to give up on somebody after you invite them twice? Try his method. It works. If nothing else, when they get tired of hearing it, they'll come to hush you up. And then once they come to hush you up, they might look at their spouse and say, did you see what I saw? Did that really happen? And then come back just see whether or not it did happen. Are we there yet? Almost. Okay, we're still in that soaking wet category. But it ain't but two verses, so let's get on with it, and they'll find it later. Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the Lord's greatest love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known to all through all generations. So here he's talking about faithfulness and making it known. Verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. So what is faithfulness? Well, break it down a little bit. Faith is confidence or trust in a person or thing. That's when you use it as a noun. You're putting your trust or your faith in a person or thing. You go out and get in your car, you have faith that it's going to start when you put the key in it and turn the ignition on. When you come into church, you have faith that the Lord's going to be here. There's one way to guarantee he's going to be here, bring him with you. If you bring him with you, he'll guarantee he's going to be here. Faithful uses adjective, I get it out in a minute, got my tongue all tangled up. Strict or thorough in the performance of duty. That's like the people in the military. They have to be faithful. They have to be perform that duty. And a lot of times under bad situations, got to be done anyway, so they do it. Now we get to faithfulness. And the best way I can describe that is to give you a couple of examples. Number one example is one of the big boys of the Bible, and I like to talk about them a lot, is Abram. Now, Abram was faithful. He was the definition of faithful. Because, number one, he never saw a Bible. Beginning when he grew up, he didn't believe in God, didn't know anything about God till he was a grown man. But he never saw a Bible. He never attended church. He had no creed. He took no sacraments. He heard not one of the Ten Commandments. And he knew very little, if anything, about life after death. But yet he was one of God's chosen because of the strength of his faith and his faithfulness. Now, he risked his life, his security, his reputation, his future, and even his son on something he didn't know a whole lot about, but believed, because he had the faith. And he risked it all on the God in whom he believed. Another one, well, he's the best example we get, and if we can follow him even just a little bit, we'll be doing a whole lot better than what most of us, and I'm talking about mainly the one you're looking at, does. Because he gives us he's the example for us as humans to follow. We're never going to be as good as Jesus, but if we try hard enough, we might make Abraham. So he's a good one for us to follow. Another good one is Job. Now, we all know the story of Job and everything Job went through. And all the mess that was done to him, his friends come over and say, look, just admit your sin and be done with it and ask for forgiveness. And Job said, well, I ain't done nothing wrong. And it went on and things got worse. He lost everything he had. His family died. He lost his home. He lost everything. His wife told him to curse God and die. Now, that's a nice thing for your mate to tell you. But that's what she told him, curse God and die. And Job wouldn't do it because of his faithfulness in God. And eventually, when his little test was over and Satan gave up on him, he got back twofold everything that he had lost. Because God is also faithful to us. Now, what does it produce? If we go to Psalm 91, verse 4. That was too far. Psalm 91, verse 4. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. So again, God is going to protect us. He's always faithful. Whether we are or not, most time we're not. He is always faithful. He will protect us. Just like the mother bird protects her chicks from the wind and the rain and so forth, she'll put them under her wings and cover them and protect them. He does the same for us and everything that goes along. Because there's a lot of things that go wrong in our lives, as most of y'all know, on a daily basis. Now, we have to have respect for God. We have to respect who he is and what he is. Today, David did a big talk on God and the fact that God is. God is able and God is here. He's waiting and he's ready to do what needs to be done for us. Now, he's going to give you what you need. Not what you want, but what you need. There's a big difference, as I'm sure all of you know, between what you need and what you want. Now, as a youngin, when you wanted something, you told mama and daddy that you needed it. Well, you tell the Lord that, and he's going to say, I'll give you that soon as pigs fly. You got it, son. Now, keep on going and wait. And you'll get what you need, but it's going to be on his time. Now, God's time's a little bit different than our time. Boy was talking to the Lord one time, and he said, "Lord, to you, how long is 10,000 years?" And the Lord said, "Oh, that's probably, you'd call it a minute." He said, "Okay." He said, "Lord, to you, how much is $1 million?" He said, "Oh, you'd call it a dollar." The boy said, "Okay, well, Lord, give me $1 million. And the Lord said, "All right, wait a minute." Now, how long that boy going to have to wait? Just like the Bible people tell you, the one, the strict interpreters of the Bible tell you how when the earth was formed and how long it's been here, for 4,000 years or some number. And the scientists over here tell you it's been here for how many millions of years. Which one's right? God made the world in 6 days, right? Rested on the seventh. When he made the world, how long was a day? Remember, I think I read somewhere in that book that 10,000 years was but a moment. How long was a day? I don't know. Contrary to what some people tell you, I won't round at the time, so I don't know. That's a different story. We'll get into that some other time. But you have to have respect for God, who he is, and what he can do. You have to have a desire to follow, to be like Jesus, to be like Abraham, to be like Job, to follow God in wherever direction that you're led. And sometimes you're going to end up going somewhere you really don't want to go. I'm sure that Patrick never had number one thing on his list was to go to prison. Won't there, was it? Won't there for me neither. And when you get in there, the first time you go in and you hear them two doors slam behind you, clunk, it gets your attention. Because in your mind, you're thinking, well, if they jump me, I'm going to be a bloody mess on the floor before the guards can even get in here. Then the Holy Ghost will take over. And when he takes over, ain't no stopping you. You're going to go. That's the desire, is to let the Holy Ghost take over. Because when he takes over, he's going to do things you can't. First time you get up here and you try to talk before a crowd, you think you're going to make it, your knees are going to knock together so bad they're going to sound like cymbals. Your voice is going to crack and you're going to be shaking and have to find something to lean on or you're going to fall down. Until you learn the things that I learned how to do this a long time ago. So Holy Ghost, that's why I can't handle that. You're going to have to take over. You're going to have to do it. And he'll take over. He's going to use you. But he'll take over and he'll do it through you. So instead of falling down on the floor and making a fool of yourself, he's going to do something that benefits somebody out there. Then you're going to have the ability to resist. Because Satan's going to come at you with everything he's got. And he's got an arsenal. He's got a big arsenal. And he knows how to use it. He's had thousands and thousands of years of practice using his arsenal. And you ain't going to whip him by yourself. I promise you. Because he got all that experience on you fighting. But just remember one thing. He's already whooped up. Because Jesus done whooped him. And as long as you got Jesus on his side, he can't, on your side, he cannot touch you. He can come right up and get right in your face, and he can make all kind of bad noises and sounds, but he can't touch you. Keep that in mind. Kind of like the boy said when he was talking to the Lord early one morning. He said, "Lord, today I've done absolutely nothing wrong. I've broken none of the Ten Commandments. I have not lied to anyone. I have not cheated anyone. I have not used your name in vain. I have not even said any bad words. But Lord, I'm going to need your help because the clock just went off and now it's time for me to get up." Any of y'all ever feel that way? Oh yeah, that's right. We all have been there. We all have to keep on keeping on. Easy to say, hard to do. You got to keep on going when things look rough. You got to keep on going when it looks like you ain't going to make it. We were out oystering one day, and we got coming in. The weather started turning bad, so we decided it'd be a good idea to come in. It was two boats out there. So we started headed in, and we hadn't been gone, but it takes an hour and something to get home, get back into port. And we'd been out about 10 minutes, and the storm hit. I ain't going to say it was bad, but I got a stainless steel steering wheel, and I still got them indentions from the fingers in. There's 9 indentions in there from where I was holding on to that steering wheel. I ain't going to say it was real bad, but all the waves were crashing over the side of the boat, and I didn't have to worry about washing it when I got back because it was clean this ever been since it was new. But that all that bad weather had washed it out, cleaned it out, and scared the mess out of me. I think when I got home, I did have to change clothes because they were wet. But it made me and it made the other crowd nervous too. The other boy was having problems with his motor and couldn't go very fast, and he had to go close to the shore to kind of shield some of it. And he was still nervous. If we could have figured out a way to safely get somewhere to hide from it, we'd have got there and waited. If it took all day, we'd have waited. But you had to keep on keeping on. Even when the situation looks bad and looks like you might not make it through it. Through the grace of God, we did. We also did this thing called continuous prayer. Y'all ever done that? Oh, you believe me, it works. Oh, does it work? Because we got in that continuous prayer mode, we didn't hush until we tied the boat up. And it worked. It got us through that situation that we were in. And when I got started in fishing, Ray Nobles had died. And I went and took his pots, helped take his pots up, get everything squared away. And I always loved the water, always wanted to be on the water. And I started praying about it. Ended up, talked to Norma about it. She prayed about it. Ended up getting the business and getting started in fishing. So the Lord provided. He provided me with everything I needed to fish with. He provided me a place to tie the boat up, to buy my bait, to buy my gas, everything right there in one spot. And they bought my crabs. Everything right there. Didn't know nothing about none of this now when I got started. But the Lord did provide it. Then I decided my boat was too small. Needed a bigger one. Now when you pray, be specific. Okay? Don't just go out there and say, well, I want this, Lord. Be specific as to what you want. Because I prayed for a bigger boat for 2 years. And I finally got to the point where I said, Holy Ghost, I'll settle for a good hull. I can fix it. Just guess what I got? A good hull. And I had to fix the rest of it because that's what I had asked for. So be careful what you ask for because that's what he's going to give you. Now, not long after that, we had some bad times. Had one of the worst years we've had yet. And it did make you thought a lot of folks got out of it. Well, why continue? Well, I thought about it. I thought about quitting. And then had one of those times where I had this singing, this noise in my ear that said, boy, I told you to get in that business. I'll tell you when it's time to get out. Now shut your sorry mouth and get back to work. So that I learned a long time ago when the Holy Ghost comes at you and says something like that, the best answer you can give him is 2 words. Yes, sir. And that's what I did. And I kept on. That's why I kept on with it, because he told me to. And he made the right choice again. And if I'd have followed what I wanted to do, again, it would have been the wrong choice, because I would assume that it was going to keep on getting bad. And y'all know the definition of assume? A-S-S-U-M-E. If you assume something, I guarantee it will make out an ass out of you and me every single time. I have proven that more times than all of you have got fingers, including me. Now, we set the example for people out there how they're going to accept Christianity. For some, we're the only Jesus they're going to ever see. The words we speak are the only Bible they're ever going to hear. So we have to act accordingly. And how we act will determine what they think about a Christian. I've heard them say many times, well, if that's the way a Christian acts, I don't want no part of it. And I've also seen them say, watch him and see what he does. Because whenever he does something, it works. You ever seen somebody that when they put their hands together, something happened? My mama was like that. She got to the point she put her hands together. I knew I best be on best behavior. If not, the situation was going to get real bad real quick. And it always did. They're also going to watch how you react when something happens. Now, I grew up as a carpenter. You hit your finger with the hammer and you won't never swing in lightly. And a lot of times the blood would fly. If not, the fingernails would turn blue all the way around them. Now, what kind of the first words out of your mouth when that happened? Thank you, Lord, won't one of them, I promise you. But eventually you did get to the point you come, that's going to feel so good when the pain quits. And you stop using all those other words because the Holy Ghost got inside of you. And other people see that. And they say, wonder why he said that. You get their curiosity up. And they'll start checking you out, see what you got that they don't have. You got to treat people right. Treat them in the right way. Don't look down on people. Look straight at them as equals. Because they are. We're all equal in the sight of God. No better, no worse, equal. Because he loves all his children the same. The only difference is he can't show how much he loves you unless you let him. If you're in a position of power over someone, then treat them with respect. Don't belittle them. Don't curse them. Treat them with respect. That goes a long way. And that will get their attention big time and quick. Treat them with love. Jesus told us we had to love one another. Okay. I thought Eddie was coming up. I thought I'd done something wrong again. But treat people with love because that's what Jesus did. And you see how much he loved us. Now, if you want to go that route, you get a piece of paper and a pencil out and you make a list of every person that you'd be willing to go through what Jesus did. I got news for you. You ain't on my list. But that's all right because I ain't on your list either. Ain't but one here that's on my list. She's sitting back over there because if you weren't born to me, I won't marry to you. You didn't make the list. Because that was a lot of stuff he went through. But he went through it intentionally. He went through it purposely, willingly, because that's how much he loved us. So we're told to go out and love our fellow man. How you treat other people who cannot help you in any way is a measure of a man or a woman. How you treat them tells everybody a whole lot about you. And that's very important because that's what God would do. That's what Jesus did when he was here. That's what Abraham did for people. So that's something we all need to work on every day. And like the saying goes, a man was never so tall as when he stooped down to help a child. So that's something we need to think about too. Now this country is in a big mess right now. And as Christians, we represent 80, 70 some odd percent of this country. If we were to stand up together, we could turn this country back around to God. So keep that in mind. Don't be afraid to speak up for God. Because I think I remember reading somewhere that if we don't stand up for God before man, Jesus ain't going to stand up for us for God. So it's a two-way street. Don't be afraid. They ain't going to eat you. If they put you in jail, you can start a prison ministry from the inside. If they torture you, they tortured him. If they kill you, you'll be in his arms before your blood runs cold on the ground. There ain't nothing they can do to stop you. They make you think they can, but they can't. If you make up your mind that you're going to worship him, there ain't nothing that crowd out there can do to stop you. And in closing, I ain't going to do it but once. I ain't got enough fingers to do it five times. But in closing, I went to the VA. They had a sign up there that said, "When you were born, the world rejoiced and you cried. Live your life so that when you die, you rejoice and the world cries." The altars are open to anyone who wants to come up and pray. Thank you. Folks was watching her too, and they saw her and saw what she does, how she reacted to the situation that she was in, and every one of them wanted something she had they didn't have. Does God do miracles today? He done one for anybody in here lately? Praise the Lord for that. But he does miracles every day, every way, anything you can think of. 2 weeks ago, the lower unit went out on my boat. Brand new one was $1,900. Well, she told me the number. All I remember was $1,900, scared me so bad. My old one was non-repairable. I got to looking. I couldn't find the one that would fit my boat. Finally found one. $1,500. Well, guess what I didn't have? $1,500, you got it right. So Barbara had told me what the balance was in the business account, and I knew it was wrong because I knew what was in there. I knew I'd written a check on it for $500, so it definitely could not be correct. I sent her back to the bank to check. She come back and she told me, yeah, it's right. And the check cleared. Folks, the money won't there. I know for a fact the money won't there. My lower unit's going to ship tomorrow. I should have it between Wednesday and Friday. The money won't there. The Holy Ghost put it there. And he does that on a regular basis for all of us. That's just one little bitty miracle. Well, you would call it a little bitty. Me, it was a great big one. But one of the miracles that he does on a daily basis for each and every one of us. I'm glad you did, because I, there again, this human being come out, and I was in this. You saw that picture David had up there this morning about the stress? Well, he snuck in and took a picture of me right after they got all the information. That's where that picture come from. But God works in mysterious ways. There ain't nothing he can't do. And if you want to try to figure out what he done, you go right ahead. I'm just going to say, thank you, Lord, and go with it.